Like to this evening invite you over to the book of Psalms, and we'll be going to the 66th division of Psalm, and we'll be looking at verse 1. So Psalm 66, verse 1. Psalm 66, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands." Verse 2, "Sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you, Lord, for your great grace and your great faithfulness to us and to all those who've trusted you as their Savior. What a blessing, Lord, to have eternal life and to have you for our guide, for our shepherd, and for being the lover of our soul. And Lord, we just don't know how to say thank you. So many things that you do for us, all that you provide, the health that you've given to us, the physical life, Lord, and all your provisions. May we never take those things as just a given thing. May we realize where it comes from, our intellect, Lord, everything that you do, everything that you've given to us. May we thank you and praise you for all that you have done and are doing in our lives. And we'll be careful to give you the praise. Guide us tonight, Lord, to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And again, we'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "Make a Joyful Noise Unto God." Make a joyful noise unto God. And as we consider this, we want to realize, really, the Lord says rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, right? Rejoice always. And he says we ought to be able to give thanks in everything. And we need to realize that these things are really commandments to the child of God, but to be mindful of why we should praise the Lord and why we should be thankful, and that is because of the work that he does in our hearts and minds. So God gives us commandments, but you know, he doesn't make a single one of us do any of them. He wants us to do those things because we want to follow the shepherd, right? He says, "The sheep, my sheep hear my voice, and when they hear my voice, they follow me." So you'll never find, you know, cattle are driven, God's sheep are led. Amen? So God's not cracking a whip at any one of us, but he will be had of us if we will call upon him and invite him into our lives that we might follow him. So the sheep, and it's amazing. Again, I think I've mentioned this to you before, but when I was over in Israel, we were at some kind of a marble plant where they would make things out of marbles, carvings and statues and things of that nature, and even a clawfoot bathtub, big old claw, out of marble. I thought, my goodness, who's going to move that thing? But anyway, across the field there were all kinds of shepherds with their sheep. I mean, flocks of sheep. And I don't know if they were on lunch break or if they were getting together for a little while or whatever. But you would just watch and they would make a call. And all these sheep were just all intermingled. And the shepherd would make his call and only his sheep would follow him. Another shepherd would leave and he'd make his call and those sheep would follow him. And so Israel and the disciples understood what the Lord meant when he said, you know, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And so we want to be reminded of that this evening as well, that God is calling on us to follow him. This is not, this is not a have to thing. It's a don't miss out thing. It's a we get to thing. And so everything with the Lord is yay. It's all positive. It's all blessings. And obviously, you know, what displeases the Lord is that we don't trust him. Because when you read the Bible and you find out really what God has for his people, it's always positive. The Lord says, I want to give you my peace. Don't you want peace? The Lord says, I want to give you my joy. I want to give you my contentment. I want to give you my holiness. I want to give you my righteousness, that we might walk in those things and realize that everything that God does is for us. Isn't that amazing? An old saint years ago, and he's gone on to be with the Lord now, and I was just listening to a fellow tell the story, and he was talking, and I think this may have been somewhere around the 1930s or 40s or so. And anyway, he had an opportunity to visit this 93-year-old saint who had served the Lord faithfully as a missionary somewhere. And he said, you know, because he was up in years, it was kind of hard to have a conversation. But he met with him for about an hour and a half. And he said many times, he said, you know, I can't do without my Savior. And he would say, and do you know that he can't do without me? Have you ever stopped to think about that? He kept saying that over and over. He said that impressed him to think about how much God loves us, that we can't do without him. That's us really understanding how much God loves us, and then to realize that he can't do without us. Do you believe that tonight? You know how much God can't do without us? He gave us his son. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that good? And so when you consider this, God wants you to know the Spirit of God. You know what the Spirit of God? And whosoever will can come unto me, right? Now, God says, I do have some specific things, but I want you to serve me out of love. I want you to want to know how to do things my way, the right way, right? I don't want you to just take it haphazard. Today, people say, oh, it doesn't matter what you do. Well, God has an order because God is a God of order. Everything works a specific way, right? You wouldn't go out, you know, gas is kind of coming down a little bit, but it's still expensive, right? But water's cheaper. You wouldn't put water in your gas tank, would you, and expect to go anywhere? And so likewise, really, in our lives, we shouldn't take God for granted and just say, well, it doesn't really matter what we do for God. Some people have that attitude. I don't really think they understand God's holiness and God's way, because Jesus said there's not just any way. There's the way, and he says, I am the way, right? And so we want to follow the right way. So this evening, I want to consider an important revealing commandment. As we consider this, this really is a commandment. Make a joyful noise unto God. Again, God doesn't he doesn't crack a whip and make us do it. That's not the way God wants us to do it. He wants to reveal wonderful things about himself to us that cause us to ponder and meditate on his word and who he is, that we might rejoice and understand what he's given to us. I do want to remind you of something very quickly before we look at our points here. And that is that God saved us for his honor and glory. And God wants to show us the way of blessing, the way of real happiness and fulfillment and real life and real peace and real joy. And so that's God's desire. And again, he doesn't force himself on anybody. And the only thing that God is saying is don't miss out. And by the way, here it is. When you got saved, how many of the promises of God that he has given to his local New Testament church belong to you? Are you sure about that? All of them? You're absolutely right. Every single one of them. That means you've been indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That means all you have to do is ask God to fill you with his Spirit. And will he do it? He said he would. He does it. And the faith part is, Lord, I trust that you filled me with your Spirit. By the way, do you want his joy? Okay, so if you ask him for his joy, has he given it to you? The faith or trust part is, Lord, you've done it. So be it unto you according to your faith, according to your trust, according to your belief. But if you, I don't know if he's done that. You're rocking back and forth like a person on the ocean, getting blown around by every little thing, right? And no, listen, God, I need you to instill in me an understanding of how to trust you in everything. That you've created me in eternity past with a specific purpose for your glory. And by the way, God chooses to shine a light out of darkness. That's what it says. And guess what? He shined light into our lives that were filled with darkness before salvation. So you are a chosen one. Isn't that amazing? God has chosen you for whosoever will. And you said yes. And God says, you are part of my flock. So, three truths tonight that we want to consider that are revealed in God's commandment concerning making a joyful noise unto God. The first one, the first revelation, and why we should rejoice in the Lord and why we should make a joyful noise is because it reveals our reverence and respect for God. Listen, the world's not going to rejoice and make a joyful noise in the Lord. Because they have no reverence or respect for God. Secondly, it reveals the works of God in our lives. Well, the lost don't understand that, but he is good to them. The Bible says he reigns on the just and on the unjust, gives us what we need. And then thirdly, it reveals our relationship with God. So look at verses 1 through 4, and I want you to see that it reveals a reverence or respect for God. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. So he intended the whole world to hear the gospel. And he says this, sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Did you hear that? Listen, make his praise glorious. God wants to give us a reason or an occasion why to pray. God's not just saying, "Now you just praise me because you're supposed to praise me, so praise me." That's not God. God wants to give us something so that we have a reason to praise the Lord. Let me ask you this. When you got saved, did you have a reason to praise the Lord? Yes. When God changed your destiny from death unto life, do you have a reason to praise the Lord? Do you know not a single one of us could have done that on our own? I had heard about Jesus Christ. I had heard the gospel, as a young boy. I didn't trust the Lord. I respected God, I thought, but I didn't know Him. And so God has to open up our understanding. So praise the Lord that He opened up our understanding. Sing forth the honor of His name. Verse 2, make His praises glorious. Now, how does that happen? Say unto God, listen to this, how terrible, and that idea has to do with reverence and respect, and wonderful, really, art thou in thy works. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever looked at a flower underneath a microscope? How about this? Have you ever looked at anything underneath a microscope? It's just amazing, all the details, all the little kids. Do you know, listen, you can see a painting. Tell me this isn't true. You can see a painting from a distance and you can say, wow, that's impressive. As you get closer and get closer, you're saying, well, they just made a bunch of little splotches, but from back there, it looked pretty good. And I'm getting up, and I'm talking about good art. I'm talking about good art. The closer you get, you can kind of see, you know, somehow they did these things. And don't get me wrong, I'm not taking anything away from the artist, but I will tell you this, the closer you take a look at the things that God has created, the more awesome, the more awing they become, and how intricate and how detailed and how with purpose everything God made was made. So he says, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. That, notice, through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. And then he says this, Selah. And you know what Selah means. Meditate. Think about this. You know, there is coming a day when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you know Jesus on this side? Why? It's not anything that we did. God positioned us and placed us in the right place at the right time because He wanted us to be saved. Have you ever stopped to think about this? Listen, do you know that Mary and Joseph, right? Mary that the Lord used to bring our Savior into the world. Do you know that everything had to line up just right for Mary? For her to be at the right place? For the angel to perform the work? Wait, do you know that Joseph also had to be in the right place? And by the way, he was given, remember, he was going to put her away privily. He didn't want to make a spectacle out of her. And God came to him in a dream, didn't he? Isn't that amazing? Wasn't there another Joseph that God came to in a dream? Do you see this working power of God? What I'm trying to say is God did a lot of working in a whole lot of people throughout a lot of generations to get them to like each other, that they might be part of the right lineage, all the way to getting Mary and Joseph to like each other. No, love each other. There's some people I like, right, that aren't too lovely, amen? So imagine all of that work that God did on purpose for His glory. God, listen, God, and let the world say whatever it wants to say. I don't understand it, but God holds the whole world in His hands. That gives me security, amen? And I like that, and we'll see more about that when we see the Lord face to face. But by now, at this point in time in our lives, we can just trust the Lord. It's just the way it is. So we thank the Lord for that. We can praise Him for that. Look at verse 5, and notice this revealed truth here concerning God's commandment to make a joyful noise reveals the work of God in our own life. Look at verse 5. He says, come and see the works of God. He is terrible, and that idea there, that word terrible means stand in awe in His doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. You remember that? That's the crossing of the Red Sea. When those Israelites saw the Egyptians hot on their trail, and they saw the sea before them, and the people got a little bit excited, didn't they? And the Lord used Moses to say, basically, I'm just paraphrasing, stand back or see the salvation of the Lord. And God opened up that water and made it like it was on dry land. Do you think any one of those Israelites had to be coerced to praise God? Or do you think they were saying, "Woo! I saw no way out of this one, and God came through"? Do you think they ever forgot that? Maybe for brief moments, but I will just tell you this: what a way to thank the Lord, at least at that moment. So God wants to do these kind of works in your life and mine to give us an occasion to praise Him. Do you know? Listen. You said it. God has given to you and me as saved children of God all of the promises. The only way that we can ever take possession of those is just to trust the Lord. And if we have a problem with trusting the Lord, say, "Lord, I want to believe. Help mine unbelief. Show me how to walk in these things," and then wait on the Lord in those things. And that means to pray and call upon Him and make an altar, not necessarily physically, but find a place somewhere where you meet with God on a daily basis. And more than once is okay. But say, "Oh God, listen, I need You to make these things real. And I want You to honor and glorify Yourself through my..." Listen, God, I want You to glorify Yourself in my life. And then God will make us the witness that the world will see and say, "Well, I don't know what they have, but I sure do like it. I sure do think I need that." But if all we have is a pointed finger at them, and you know, we're not really portraying the Lord the right way. Is that how God treats you? If so, we'd have all been dead by now. Because, you know, we have failed the Lord. And so why are we falsely portraying the Lord in a way, you know, and badgering people and realizing that, look, We lived our life the way we wanted to until God got our attention and saved us. Can anybody, human being, make you serve God? No, they can't. I can't make you. I don't, the Holy Spirit, if He can't move you, I know I can't. I won't even bother trying. You know why? Because it's not my job. It's not my job. My job is to proclaim the truth. The rest is between us and the Lord, you and the Lord. You know, do you either believe Him or you don't? Lord, You've given me this Bible. Why? Just to collect dust because it doesn't have a whole lot of meaning? No. He says, "I've given it to you to direct you and to understand what you need in your life, and that you would call upon Me because I've promised it to you. Not for you to make it happen, but for Me, for you to call upon Me to make this happen." Listen, that's revival. That's the excited Christian life that the world needs to see, but more importantly, that we need to see for the glory of God in our own lives. Because God said, "I purposed you to glorify Me with your life, that the life of Christ might be flowing through us." That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit, not just to call upon Him when we need Him, you know, like a genie in a lamp, but no, Lord, that You might live Your life in me. So notice this, it reveals the work and the works of God in our lives. So verse 6, "He turned the sea to dry land, and they went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice. And by the way, this musician wasn't there. But here we find, unless it was Moses, but here we find, you know, can we not rejoice in the good works of God, even in the lives of other people? How about tonight when I told you about this 93-year-old saint that was telling this other preacher, "You know, do you know that I can't do without God? And do you also know that He can't do without me?" Doesn't that warm your heart to think how God thinks about us? And that preacher was saying, "Man, I couldn't get away from that. As I left him, I didn't have much of a conversation with him, but the hour and a half that I spent there, he surely did repeat that many times. And I saw it was real to him." And he said it just awestruck him. And so we can rejoice out of all that. Listen, is every word of the Bible, the Word of God, true? Can we not rejoice with all that God has done for Daniel, Joseph, Abraham, all of them? Amen? All of the ones that can we not rejoice and say, "That is my God and my Savior. What a wonderful, great God we serve." And so, notice verse 7, "He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. And they will, but they shouldn't. Verse 8. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. You are here tonight because of God's great faithfulness. You didn't get washed out. There are people that walked with the Lord for a little while and then turned away. Aren't you glad you're not one of them? And it's only by the grace of God that we're here, that he does that for us. So he holds the soul of our life, and he doesn't allow us to be moved. Verse 10, for thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. So that's the purpose of trials. And notice this, verse 11, and broughtest us into the net, thou latest affliction, upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into the house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings within incense of rams, and I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. You know what he says? There's nothing too great for my God. Amen. You know, he says, my God is worthy of anything and everything that he asks of me. How about us tonight? Is our God worthy? Do you know what he's saying to us tonight? Follow me. Not like Peter. I got an idea, Lord. No, not that way. Lord, you show me. And Peter did get it. He did get it. But how did he get it? When God empowered him with the Holy Spirit. Hey, how will we get it? When we understand that God, listen, has empowered us with the Holy Spirit. Don't say, Oh Lord, indwell me with the Holy Spirit. You're already indwelt. You're not going to ask God for something he's already done. Help me to understand, Lord, how it works in my life. I know you filled me, Lord. I know I've even seen you work. I've caught glimpses of your work in my life. Show me how to walk in that, Lord. Teach me to pray. Didn't the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray how John's disciples prayed? Didn't they come up to the Lord and say, Lord, show me how to do these things? God, that's why the Lord is there for us. Because he knows we need him as our shepherd to know these things that we don't know. And so this reveals the works, really, this kind of praise of God in our life. And then lastly, we'll consider these last four or so verses. It reveals our relationship with God. Look at verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my what? That's so important for our soul. That's the part of us that the world can't see. That's the part of us that's looking out of these windows that we call eyes, that is really the essence of life. Not in things, but in our relationship with God, in our soul. Verse 17, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. We praise him with that, right? Extolled. Exaltation. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's an important truth. If I just remember these people, it doesn't matter what you do. Oh, no, listen, if it's sin, God says he's not going to hear me. And why would God do that? Not that because we should know better, but because he has given to us his grace and his mercy, his love and his spirit, that we should not obey sin in the lust thereof, but that we should yield and submit ourselves unto the Lord and present ourselves as a vessel for your Lord today and every day, Lord, may we say, my life, my body are not mine anymore. They're yours. Right? They're yours, Lord. And so when somebody asks us to do something that's wrong, I'm sorry, I can't do that today. Why not? Well, because I don't have any hands here today. I have the Lord's hands, but they're not my hands. Well, come with us this way. I'm sorry, I don't have any legs to follow you today. The legs I have belong to the Lord, and they want to walk in his ways. The things that we hear, I'm sorry, or just walk away. You don't have to say anything, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to look at that, because my whole body belongs to who? Have we not been bought with a price? And so, Lord, may you have all of us. And I promise you, as we present ourselves like that, God says, I'm going to show you, because you are serious with me, I'm going to be serious with you and show you my way. But verily, verse 19, God hath heard me. Amen? Isn't that good? We get serious with the Lord. We don't regard iniquity in our hearts. And we say, Lord, it's yours. You guide me. I'm not going to walk in that way, Lord. I'm going to walk in how you've empowered me. But verily, God hath heard me. Verse 19, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. If you pray, will God hear you? He just said he would, right? He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. This is for all of his children. And then with that, we say, blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. God will give us the reason to praise him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you, Lord, for the reminder of your will and your desire to guide our hearts and minds, to walk with you, and that you would be able to use us as we present ourselves to you, to use us for your honor and glory, that we might experience your light, your truth, in and through our lives by the indwelling Holy Spirit, as we yield to you, Lord, that you would empower our lives to honor and glorify you, and that we would stand in awe of your greatness and your great grace and faithfulness. Bless, Lord, as we break off for prayer. And again, Lord, we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.